Okay, welcome everybody to Traditional Advertising in Our Digital World. I'm looking forward to working with you and co-hosting and being a sidekick to our expert today, featured. Today we are going to do, first of all, some housekeeping issues. Yes, as always, we will record this webinar that'll be available to people who register, both attendees and people who registered but couldn't make it today. We will be having a Q&A in just a few moments, or I'm sorry, at the very end. We'll be starting off with introductions as well. So that'll be happening as a beginning. And I'm not going to read the agenda to you. You can see it's a full packed, very thorough agenda here we'll be talking about. Charlie, I've been working with for quite a long time. So he is my favorite expert when it comes to traditional advertising. So again, we will be having a Q&A. There is a Q&A section in the on your browser. So that's the best place to put it as opposed to chat. Just put it into the Q&A and we will address your questions here during the meeting if possible, or follow up with you afterwards. I'm Stuart Gandoff. I'm CEO of Healthcare Success. I've been doing this for a while, and I lead an agency with about 40 highly determined expert people and do a lot of writing and speaking on the topic of healthcare marketing. Today's topic, traditional media, is something that our agency certainly does a lot for a lot of our clients. We're obviously digital first these days and always have been for many years, but traditional still has a role to play for some clients, some of our clients. So Charlie is our go-to, beloved by one and all clients. So Charlie, a little bit about your background.
Thank you, Stuart, and welcome everyone. My name is Charlie DiNatale. I've been with Healthcare Success for about 15 years now. I'm going to mention a statistic to you that I think is going to be very relevant in our presentation. I have four decades of traditional media buying, and we're going to emphasize that a little bit because it's very important to the context of what we're going to be talking about today. So I've been around quite a bit. Fortunately, I will tell you, you're looking at someone that still has a job. Which basically, I'm busy every day. And I'm busy every day because there's still millions of dollars that are being funneled through traditional media. So I hope you all enjoy the presentation today.
Great. So if you don't know our agency, Healthcare Success specializes solely in healthcare. We have process experts for really every position we touch. Charlie happens to be our lead for traditional advertising. And we've been around since 2006. And so one of the key things that makes our agencies unique is the focus on not just digital strategies, which we're highly, highly skilled at, but also things like strategy and traditional advertising and other things beyond just the digital. So we're truly integrated. Charlie?
Thank you very much, Stuart. And Stuart's going to be my male Vanna White today. So he will conduct the slides. Thank you, Stuart. So we're going to start off.
I'm qualified for it, Charlie. I can do this.
Thanks. We are going to start off by looking at the traditional media landscape in 2024. By far, it is a more complex landscape than it's ever been. Print, television, out of home, and radio, which were once the dominant media channels, as a matter of fact, really the only games in town at some point over the many years. Now we're facing challenges today as to how to utilize those traditional media options because basically, consumer expectations have shifted. And what I mean by that is if you look at the various generations, Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, the Alpha Generation, the Baby Boomers, etc., the expectations of each of those generational segments is changing the landscape of media because they consume media differently today and they have expectations also today. And this digital evolution that we have seen over the last 15 to 20 years has clearly forced these media companies to make changes in their sales approach. And what I mean by that is me as a media buyer, when I call a media outlet, when I called them 20 years ago, the conversation was quite simple. When I call them today, their approach to selling me on their particular media is different. Because they talk about a variety of things. How do we spin off from the traditional media segments? And statistically today, we have to understand the consumption of media in 2024 by all demographics, because that will be the way we will be able to strategically apply traditional media. So when we look at, let's go to slide number six, Stuart, if we could, which is our statement that we make right there. There you go. Perfect. This is something I would like to leave up for just a few seconds, because it's an important statement for you all to consider as we progress into the presentation. Technology has revolutionized this media industry, and of course, traditional media being very much a part of that industry. And what this is telling us is that businesses, as well as media buyers, will need to be far more strategic when navigating their media budget allocations. Now, I'd like to keep this up one second, because this particular statement prompts three very important questions: the how, the when, and the why. How to use traditional media, when to use traditional media, and maybe the most important question is why we are using traditional media in 2024. Now, we hope to answer these questions today in our presentation as we move forward and we get into further details. Moving on to our next slide, this is a slide about the traditional media models. And what I mean by this is we're going to look at the old-fashioned traditional media, just to give a refresher course to all of you, and also relate those to consumer habits. Next slide, please. Let's look at out of home first. Now, out of home, by definition, is basically signage that exists primarily outdoors. This is probably the media form that has been least impacted by the digital evolution. It's the simplest type of media to execute, especially with non-digital models. So this type of advertising, when you think of out of home, most people just think about billboards. But let's just look at it in a more broader scope. Let's look at signage that exists. So for example, billboards on the freeways and highways is one form. Local neighborhood billboards, which are smaller billboards, exist as well. But signage can also include signage in bathrooms. You may walk into a restaurant, have to take a break, go to the restroom, and you're going to see signage in the restroom promoting a certain advertiser. You'll see signage in pharmacies. You'll see signage in health clubs. You'll see signage on buses, on subways, in subway cars, on subway platforms. You'll see signage on shopping carts or in grocery stores. Signage exists all over the outdoor arena. Now, the reason out of home is least impacted by digital is because when you look at television and radio, there are consumer habits that generations have grown up with in how to consume that media. But with out of home, let's apply some common sense to that. Everybody drives a car for the most part. If you are 16, 17, or 18 years old, or if you are 80 years old and you still have the ability to drive, consumers still are out on the road. Pedestrians are still walking. Therefore, the mass audience reach of out of home has little to do with the impact of the digital evolution. It's related to some degree, which we'll get into later, but it is probably the one media source that has been least impacted by digital advertising and the digital evolution. Next slide, please. Now we're going to get into television and a little bit of print and then radio. Television and print clearly have been the two media sources that have been most impacted by the digital evolution. Television ads in the past always used to be considered important and critical to advertisers, particularly in the prime time hours of, let's say, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at night. The problem today is that the content that has been delivered from a programming perspective has changed and been reduced. So television stations, and let's call them linear stations. Linear stations, we're talking about broadcast stations, sort of like your CBSs, your ABCs, your NBCs, your Foxes, and cable. So linear is really your broadcast and cable stations. The content of programming is very difficult to get for those stations anymore. So basically, that content has shifted over to streaming services such as Netflix and Hulu, et cetera. So a TV station now has less to sell, but against the targeted demographic audience that is appropriate, television stations primarily live and die off of their news programming, their sports programming, and any sort of specialized entertainment award shows that they want to televise. So programming is a key element to the fact that television stations on the linear and cable side are surviving with their news, sports, and entertainment program, which appeals to certain demographics. We have to identify those demographics in order to appropriately apply our strategy when we are buying media for clients. Next slide, please. Now, this is probably the one media source that really is facing perhaps a short-term demise, if not already. Most of your daily newspapers today have shifted to online content. Everybody's aware of that. If you have a phone in your hand, if you have a tablet, if you have a laptop, instead of going out and buying that printed paper, you're going to consume your news and your information online. So your daily newspapers are slowly but surely shifting out. There are still some that are out there that still drive an audience and still drive advertiser success, but they're few and far between. So what we have to look at in the print side of life is what is still important out there in the print world. And I will say, and feel very comfortable saying this, that probably by the year 2030, the only surviving newspapers that will be appropriate for traditional media will be community weekly newspapers. And those are the ones, to put it mildly, that are thrown on your driveway, and folks who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s are still consuming that. Why? Because it's very local to their community. Therefore, if you're an advertiser, maybe a local retail advertiser or even a healthcare advertiser who is looking to reach that particular demographic, probably your daily newspapers are going to shift to online by 2030 entirely. But the only remaining really pure form of print is probably going to be your community newspapers and your specialized newspapers. That could be an LGBTQ paper, or it could be an African-American publication that still exists out there. So basically, those are the papers that will survive over the next 5 years. Next slide, please. Radio is probably the most interesting evolution as the digital world has come into play, because the emergence of new media platforms like streaming services, social media, traditional radio has managed to hold its ground. And keep in mind, there are various ways of consuming music these days, or even talk or sports. You can go to Sirius XM. You can go to Spotify. You can have a tablet at home or a laptop at home, and you'll be listening to streaming services more so than you would to that button-pushing vehicle that is in your car that we're so used to listening to radio with. But even with the availability of digital music, traditional radio has evolved and adapted to the new technology, with many stations now applying spin-offs to their terrestrial radio. Now, again, when I define terrestrial radio, we're talking about the traditional radio. You're not going to find transistor radios like you used to have back in the day, but you are going to still have that car media option for you to listen to terrestrial radio, where you're turning on the radio in your car, you're pushing buttons, and you may have a favorite station you're listening to. That still exists for many consumers. And particularly because commuter traffic is still very relevant, you will still find a lot of people consuming radio through that traditional radio source in their car. But radio has shifted quite a bit. Back to the slide, please, Stuart. And they have shifted to items like podcasting, which basically has transformed the way we consume audio content. So, for example, if you're listening to your favorite radio station and you have a particular person who is a personality, let's say, as an example, that you like to listen to, if you miss that particular show and you're not listening to it, that radio personality is going to have their show available to you at a later date on a podcast. So you could listen to the podcast. And advertisers are shifting or including their traditional radio advertising with their podcast advertising as well to make it more of a holistic audio approach. Next slide, please. So let's take a look at this. Is a very important slide, because audience segmentation is perhaps the most important thing we can focus on when planning our media buys for clients. And I want to share a personal story with you, if I may, for just a few seconds. Earlier this week, I was contacted by a national radio show who was doing a feature on how sports leagues are going to survive in the next 5 to 10 years. And what they really need to do to keep the relevance of their leagues in the minds of various audiences. And they interviewed me on this radio show. And one of the subjects was that this particular announcer on the radio station had a concern that the National Basketball Association was going to have some problems meeting the expectations of audiences going forward, when the face of the NBA, who right now is LeBron James, as an example, goes and retires. So if you look back at the history of the NBA, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, those were the faces of that league. If they go away, is that league going to survive? And I made a point of telling that particular person, that air personality, hey, you have to look at the consumer segmentation expectations. Because as the younger population grows older, their expectations of what to expect out of the National Basketball Association is going to be different than, let's say, a baby boomer's expectation is. So you have to adapt your marketing strategy as a league to that audience expectation and how those consumers consume media or consume sports. That's going to change quite a bit over the next 10 years. And these professional sports leagues are going to have to adapt to it. So leaving this slide up right now, at this moment, as you and I speak, these are the three generational segments that are most likely to consume traditional media. So when I asked the question earlier before, when do we apply traditional media? Most often today, we apply traditional media when the targeted audience is within these three generational segments. This is very important to remember, because I can assure you, a 25-year-old is not going to be sitting on their couch in the living room watching an NBC newscast on traditional television. So you have to be able to identify those consumer segments in order to apply them appropriately to your marketing strategy. Next slide, please. This is digital media consumption. This shows you the graph between 2021 to 2025 on the number of average minutes per day that consumers consume digital media and traditional media. Now, I will tell you very clearly that the traditional media numbers and that graph is skewed a little bit on the decline because it involves all age groups. I would assure you that if this graph was 45 and older only, the traditional media consumption would look differently. It would have more of an uptick as opposed to this major decline. But what's important here is to understand that across all age groups, everyone is consuming digital media today, of course. But at the same time, there is a crossover as to some of those age groups who are still very much consuming traditional media. Next slide, please. So when we look at a holistic approach to media, now again, I want to emphasize that back in the day, going back to that 40-year history I told you about earlier, I had nothing to worry about but one thing. And that was that there was only one traditional form of media or multiple traditional forms of media that were available, but they were the only game in town. And all I had to worry about in terms of my analysis is putting a phone number, let's say, into a specific media approach and watching the phone calls come in and analyzing that way. Today, it's entirely different. My job is far more challenging. I have to think more when presenting a plan to a client, and I have to think more holistically about my media approach than I did in the past. So we incorporate what we call a push and pull marketing. And I think you'll very much understand what this is by this definition. Push marketing is the process of pushing unsolicited information to a desired target audience to gain their attention and response. Now, the way to do that is through external media. External media, meaning radio and TV traditionally, out of home traditionally, maybe direct mail traditionally, and maybe not so much traditionally, OTT and streaming applications. The pull marketing concept is more applying to positioning your message to be noticed when the target audience pulls information at the time they are seeking it. So put that in different perspective is you're not seeing any external media at all, but you're sitting at home and something crosses your mind. Hey, you know what? I need a doctor in my area who treats arthritis or who treats fibroids. So therefore, on my own, I'm going onto my devices, my phone, my tablet, and I'm searching. However, wouldn't it be more impactful if there was an external force that is influencing those people, not only to search, but also to gain credibility for that particular advertiser and also take action on that message that they might see online? So the push marketing approach of traditional media, this is a very critical, holistic slide here that tells you and tells me that there is a need to push that consumer so that it drives more activity to the website and drives more activity to create action items from the people who are searching online, whether it be social media or through PPC or whatever form they're using, blogging, podcasts, whatever. Next slide, please. Okay, so let's look at the role now specifically again of traditional media. I will contend in 2024, and I have stood up amongst hundreds of people in seminars, giving speeches, and clearly making an emphatic statement that I can support with rationale that traditional media is not dead. How it's used and when it's used has changed so drastically, but clearly it's not dead. It's how you apply it today, in what form you apply it, and the ability to open up your mind holistically to the expansion of traditional media. So when it comes to traditional radio, as an example, versus streaming audio, or when it comes to traditional TV versus connected TV, which is OTT, there is no need for media buyers or advertisers to pit one against the other. What's far more important is to figure out how they work together and they develop a marketing plan that is synergized and works together. That's the most important part of the new era we are in if you are indeed going to use traditional media to grow your business. In 2024, all age groups, even up to 75, 80 years of age, all age groups are consuming digital content and marketing ads that are online. However, the Gen X and baby boomers and the age group beyond baby boomers, those populations are more likely to consume both digital and traditional media. So if you were doing an index and buying a certain TV station and you were targeting a group of people, adults, that were 45 and over, what you need to do is to find the media sources that are indexing high on the traditional media consumption in order for you to efficiently be utilizing traditional media. Next slide, please. So this is important to understand where the digital media intersects with the traditional media and how the compatibility currently exists with both. And it's important to understand this because as you go into your planning stages for your business, either through an agency or on your own, you have to think about all of these things. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, on this particular call, if I didn't have to worry about all of these stuff, I'd be a much more happier person today. But unfortunately, you have to do it because years ago, I didn't have to worry about it. So let's look at these two columns. Traditional media channels include TV, radio, but there's a spinoff to radio into podcast, which is becoming a very important part of marketing these days. Then there's out of home. And then there's event marketing, grassroots marketing, tagging on to an event to get your business out there. There's the direct mail. And by the way, I made a point to somebody yesterday. I was just talking about a direct mail campaign we were doing for a particular client. And I made the comment, which I think makes a lot of sense. In the digital evolution where people go online now to pay a lot of their bills, don't most of you realize when you go to your mailbox every day, how much less congested your mailbox is because you are actually doing most of your bill paying online and there are less and less things coming in your mail? Well, that makes direct mail a really important and actually very impactful form of media today, even more so than it was before. Because if you do a direct mail postcard and that winds up in your mailbox, there's a lot less congestion in your mailbox. So that postcard will stand out a little bit more when you go to your mailbox and retrieve your mail. Other media channels, newspapers and magazines, obviously. And I mentioned to the fact that newspapers, again, will shift more of their content online, but those community newspapers will still be out there. Let's look at the digital media channels and try to correlate some of these to our traditional media channels by going back to the push and pull concept we were talking about earlier. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of those, I think there's no question that we all recognize the impact of influencers on all of those social media platforms and how important social media is in this day and age to the progression of a business per se. Now, there are pros and cons of social media, and I'm not going to be sitting here to argue both, but there clearly is a positive side of being on social media. Now, traditional media can drive activity to social media. That is very done through the website traffic that is increased or from URLs that are put into your traditional media advertising that can help funnel people into the social media platforms, thereby increasing the awareness and increasing people's actions to the business. I often tell people that when you look at holistic advertising from traditional media, that one of the factors to look at is how it increases your website advertising, because that is a telling tale of how traditional media is impacting search and your website advertising. By the way, affiliate marketing here, that is your influencer. That's the people who are on TikTok and generating hundreds, if not millions, of followers who have a very influential impact on advertisers in this day and age. So all of those digital media channels somehow will correlate to how you push out your traditional media to impact the digital channels. Next slide, please.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let's look at TV through the digital eye. Post 2000, you could see that broadcast and cable TV still exists, but look at everything else that exists, all of the other streaming services that advertisers will gravitate to for various reasons. If you're branding your service, your product, your business, traditional television advertising, cable TV, even though the cords are being cut, are still viable options to brand. However, if you're sort of doing more of a direct response, then most of the time, broadcast, yes, will still be very pertinent for the response, but you can geo-target on the streaming side, whereby if you're looking to maybe geo-target a certain demographic in a certain area of a market, then those other forms of streaming services become pertinent and important. Next slide. Looking at radio through the digital eye. Let's look at this step by step very quickly. There are no financial requirements when you're listening to terrestrial radio. Nobody's charging you when you go in your car and you're pushing your buttons on your traditional radio. That's not a charge. If you listen on devices such as tablets, computers, and phones, you have the opportunity to listen to that radio station online, not necessarily being charged for that. Anyone with a car has access to a terrestrial radio station. You can pay for streaming options, which usually means listeners will have the ability to opt out of ads. I'm not a big fan of that because obviously I'm trying to get advertisers' ads out there so people would obviously look at them. So, you know, to pay for a streaming option, in my eyes, is not a great deal of positiveness. So easy accessibility on the traditional radio side, preferred programming on the streaming side where you could use streaming to more target your audience. Generation X and baby boomers more likely to listen to terrestrial radio. On the other side, 83% of all listening on the streaming side is done by Gen Z. So again, this gets back to the original slide we looked at, why, when, and why, that we use various forms of media against certain age groups only. Traditional media, again, against the millennials and against the baby boomers, more applicable. Your digital approach is across all age groups, but perhaps more applicable to that 35 and 40 and younger group. Terrestrial radio accounts for 39% of the audio consumption for people 13 and older. Now, that's a broad age group, but that is also a very large population, which is why there are still millions and millions and millions of advertising dollars going into terrestrial radio today. It still has a well-deserved reputation for being a dependable, trustworthy outlet for people to listen to. However, the age group target is 40 to 75, where on the digital side, any audio consumption is more applicable to an 18 to 40-year-old age group. Next slide, please. The complexities and challenges of today's world. And again, I cannot emphasize this. I'll go back to that 40-year number that I was telling you about. Life is so much more complex today, not only for a media buyer, but in the world in general, right? Because there's so much technology out there. So when we as media planners and buyers have to think about helping our clients, making sure they're successful, it is a complex approach to plan a media buy because you have multiple media options today. You also have to be sure that you understand how to analyze your data and determine the appropriate media mix. And what I mean by that is, how are you allocating your budget? How are you balancing the spending levels? Is it 60-40 digitally to traditional? Is it 60-40 traditional to digital? Well, every client is different. So whatever their goals and objectives are might dictate how that budget is allocated. You have to craft a multi-channel and successful marketing strategy. When I look at my traditional media approach for a client, I'm in contact with my digital team. I want to understand what are they doing and how is that compatible to what I'm doing on the traditional side? Because if I don't know that, I would not be doing my client justice in preparing an appropriate traditional media plan and recommendation for them. Finding the digital and traditional media that has relevancy to the engaged audiences that you are going after is critically important in your research. You will have to determine the most efficient ways of reaching those people with the relevant traditional media that you are using. Everything is results, management, time, and how you analyze the data and how you determine the success of your campaign. Next slide, please. When to use traditional media. The generational differences come into play. Each generation has distinct characteristics, values, and media consumption patterns. You have to recognize those in research in order to apply your traditional media appropriately. Baby boomers tend to prefer traditional media, such as TV, radio, and print. I'm currently targeting a 55-year-old and older age group. What am I doing on TV? I'm looking at a TV network that was built to reach those people and using that network to target that group. Demographically, your gender, income, education, and location, and ethnicity are key factors in choosing your traditional media mix. Be sure you research the audience's media consumption behavior preferences before you make your recommendations or implement your traditional media. Understand the expectations and segment your audience accordingly. Gen Xers have media consumption habits very similar to baby boomers on the traditional side and similar to millennials on the digital side. All of that research needs to be done. Next slide. Media buying and planning. Very quickly, this is my job, right? So you should understand how I go about doing that. I have to cover all bases of the process, the research, the evaluation, the negotiation, the purchasing, the media planning and buying, the verification of the invoices to make sure that all my media ran exactly as I booked it. And of course, the payment of those invoices to have to be sure we're paying the right amount against what we planned. Research should include competitive information. You should align yourself with your media vendors. Don't look at them as media vendors anymore. Look at them as partners, because you're not just buying airtime anymore. You're buying a holistic marketing plan with multiple media platforms. Be sure to evaluate your media buys with key metrics such as CPMs. I always buy on a cost per thousand. My cost per thousand has to be under $20. If it's not, I'm not going to be efficient in my traditional media. So I have to be sure I'm buying the audience against that CPM that's efficient. Negotiate added value media components. That's important. Get your client as much as possible in terms of added value. pay your media bills on time to establish credit, and do your post analysis with verified invoices to make sure everything ran as you bought it. Next slide, please. The importance of a traditional media buyer. 40 years of experience for me makes me a unique breed. I say that modestly. There aren't many of me around anymore. But the good news is that anybody who is a traditional media buyer, it's important to understand why you would want to use one as opposed to buying it yourself. Not suggesting that if you graduated from college with a marketing degree that you don't understand how to buy media. You certainly might be able to. The compatibility impact of traditional strategies and digital strategies is what a media buyer today must know how to do. You must know your markets demographically and geographically and do the appropriate research with the appropriate resources that you have. Media strategy should be based on not only a primary demographic, but also a secondary demographic. Deliver a clear message. Make sure your creative is to the point and you're establishing creative that meets the objectives of the business. Balance your budgets. This is not easy, folks. When the time comes to apply it to your business, you've got to do a lot of homework to be sure that budget is balanced appropriately. And do not be afraid to test. Track your performance the way you track it today. How much did your website go up when you started your traditional media? I will assure you and tell you that when you run traditional media, for example, in 3 months, and then you stop, you're going to see probably a 20 to 25% decline in your website traffic when you stop your traditional media. Never accept rate card rates from a media vendor. Trust me, folks, media salespeople out there, they want to sell their product as much as anybody else these days. And you should not accept rate card rates. You should negotiate. Synergize your traditional media buying power to create digital content components such as educational podcasts and online videos. Create media partnerships. Don't just look at them as vendors. Look at them as your partner. Next slide, please. This is a very quick, and by the way, this deck is going to be available, so you'll be able to consume these graphics very easily. So basically what this is showing is you're sitting on your couch watching traditional TV. Usually most people these days have a phone in their hand, or they have a tablet by their side, or they have a laptop by their side. So this is sort of telling you sort of the percentage of how people consume daily with a tablet, with a smartphone, and with an e-reader. And this is just telling you that you have to keep in mind, if you're buying traditional TV or even radio to that matter, that consumers are going to be occupied with other devices in their possession. Next slide, please. Measuring results, very important. Anything we do across the board, you've got to measure them. Get your qualified appointments that are generated via phone calls. Make sure your qualified appointments that are generated via lead forms are recognized through promoting your URL or website. Make a comparative chart of website traffic in the months before advertising against the same number of months when you are advertising, and you will see a tangible result one way or the other. Traditional media impacts digital. The percentage of increases to your social media engagements will go up with the help of traditional media. Do A/B testing when you're working out your media plans, and utilize lessons learned for the next campaign through everything that you do. Next slide, please. Traditional media strategy through radio, expand your content by utilizing podcasts as well. Incorporate the appropriate attribution platforms for out-of-home radio and TV campaigns. That means that there are multiple platforms to use today in order for you to track your results appropriately. Media buyers like myself used to have Nielsen or some sort of a tracking mechanism like a telephone call rail service that would help understand how many calls came in. Today, there are multiple platforms to be able to analyze this. Your linear TV stations disseminate news programming through their broadcast day. They add some display ads on the station's website. These are expansions of buying linear TV, specifically with their news content to enhance your TV campaign strategy. Next slide, please. This, as a final slide, before we get into our Q&A, there's one more statement that I want you to read, and then we'll get into some Q&A. Stuart, are we okay on time right now?
Yes, we are, but we should wrap it up so we have some time to discuss. I have a number of questions for you, but we can go ahead and obviously finish up here.
We will do that. Traditional media principles, I'm going to read them to you very clearly. Make sure you identify your campaign goals and objectives. Specific details need to be recognized as to whom that campaign is going to reach. This next bullet point is very important. Identify your KPIs, whether that be appointments, ad engagements, video views, website traffic visits, sales, repeat business, and more. Make sure you balance the expectations. Be efficient with your buying. Do it, my suggestion, against CPMs. Research the relevant market insights. This will inform you as a media buyer or as a person who's looking to buy media on the audience selection, the messaging, and the media mix. Very important to understand your competition. Use the resources available out there. Find out what your competitor is spending, where they're spending it, so that you can understand what kind of share of voice you're going to need in that particular landscape. Use your measurement tools to monitor. If you go ahead and spend media, but you're not monitoring and you're not analyzing, you're cutting yourself short. Your creative specifications are very important. Make sure that those specifications match your media. Next slide. Okay, this is the final thing I'm going to leave you with. And I'm going to leave you with very emphatically before we get to any Q&As. In this day and age, I will argue that one media channel alone is not the magical solution for marketing in most cases. Not all cases, in most cases. So if someone is wanting to put 100% of their money into certain buckets, let's make sure that those buckets don't need support, because they likely will need support. So I'm going to encourage all of you, when you think about your media strategies to grow your business, don't put yourself in a bind and think only of one media channel. Explore your options.
Okay, very good, Charlie. That was awesome. Lots of questions and comments, and also some things I'd like to discuss as well. One of the things that was a question was about various markets, and I think that's really a key discussion point. So how about I start on this particular thing? Because I'm usually, when we're working with clients, we're talking about these kinds of topics. So there are really specific use cases on a market-by-market basis, and Charlie can expand upon what I'm about to say in a moment. So for example, for whatever reason, some markets just tend to be better responsiveness than others. Some just tend to, for whatever reason, traditional advertising works pretty well. Some stations really tend to work, and we talk about that a lot. And Charlie has that kind of knowledge of really granularly which station, which market, which bus stop bench has the best. It's like really, really granular. So that really matters. When it comes to market size, the issue is obviously the larger the market, generally the more expensive it will be. Beyond the fact that some markets are more responsive than others, the other thing is how many locations do you have? So if you have a lot of locations, even like a market like New York, it makes a lot of sense, right? Whereas if you have a single location, probably not so much if you're in a provider space. Obviously, if you have different kinds of services, it's not as much of an issue, but for a location basis, that matters a lot. And then one more thing, Charlie, before you comment on this, the other thing that matters is like sometimes in smaller markets, it's so cheap, we can really do a lot. And it's kind of crazy, even though we prefer digital so often. Sorry, Charlie. But it's so cheap that I used to call it carpet bombing a market. We look at these local pubs or local radio stations that everybody listens to. They can be really, really inexpensive. Charlie?
You covered a lot there in your explanation. I'd like to add one enhanced point, because we talk about market size. I want to use an example here. Atlanta and Dallas are two markets that are very similar in size. However, You would be amazed at the expense difference between one market and the other, Atlanta being in this case, being for some reason a very expensive market versus Dallas, yet they're the same size. The other point to be made is that when you look at all of these markets and you look at the television stations, demographically, some of these markets are structured very differently. And when you apply your media to specific audience segments, no matter what the market size, it comes back to the efficiency of that CPM in that market. So even though you may be paying a lot more money in a specific market, if your CPM is lower against your target audience, you're doing good.
Great. Charlie, one thing that I'd like to discuss just briefly, if somebody's from, and a question we had was surrounding this, you know, for example, health systems, they're known to compete in some of these marketplaces. And so sometimes when there's a competition will come up, we'll see lots of spending by, you know, several different hospitals in a market, for example, or several different major players in a market. And then, you know, I've seen very creative things. Like one of my favorites was a large, on the way into the hospital, a large PT group targeted the orthopedic surgeons on a billboard. So you can get kind of creative too. But tell me about, you know, do you still see a lot of competition, you know, for traditional advertising, market by market, service line by service line? And do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, Stuart, you know, when we talk about to our clients about using traditional media, we do use that competitive spend to show them that there is so much advertising still out there in the traditional media world. And part of the way we show them that is through the resources that we have to gather that information of competitor spending. Where are they spending? Which media sources? Are they throwing 100% of their budget on TV? Are they throwing 100% of their budget on radio? How are they mixing it up on the traditional media side? What that does for us, it helps us understand how we should approach that market. Do we want to go to war with competitors? Not necessarily all the time, but we certainly want to maintain or establish our own market share of voice. It's important that we know what those spending levels are and where they're spending their money.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I'm good at this probably too, because I just love digital so much. And sometimes it's easy to just dismiss traditional without really thinking about it deeply. Meanwhile, a competitor is, you know, owning market share traditionally, getting great ROI because nobody's even bothering to enter the market. So a lot of times there's that opportunity where, gee, nobody, either A, they're eating your lunch and you don't even know it, or B, there's opportunity and you can eat their lunch without them knowing it. Charlie, any comments?
Yeah, absolutely, Stuart. You know, and again, I mentioned the competitive spend is when I'm in a group discussion on traditional media for a client and trying to make them understand, you know, I often quote and say, you know, I can talk to someone who'll say to me, you know what, Charlie, nobody reads the newspaper anymore. And I will say to them, that statement is false. I saw seven people in an airport the other day that actually have paper in their hand, right? So the statement in itself is false, but it's less and less, of course. Now on the TV and radio side, I have to tell the client will say, you know what? Nobody uses traditional media anymore. Even Stuart sometimes will tell me that. But however, the truth of the matter is that I have to explain to that individual, well, look at this. Look at the millions and millions of dollars that well-known advertisers are spending still on traditional media. Either they're really stupid or there's a reason for doing that.
Great. Charlie, we work with, you know, so many of our clients do traditional as part of their plan. We have had a few do nothing but traditional, but almost all of them are doing, the lion's share of money is going towards digital. But we are, you know, using very strategic, smart, traditional to supplement it. So I thought it'd be fun because we've talked about, you know, theory a lot, but like a use case in healthcare. So pick a client without naming it or giving away any strategy, but where it's just traditional is a vital part of it. Maybe share an anecdote or two about how we're doing that.
Yeah. So I'd like to, Stuart, may I mention a category?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So let's look at the world of addiction. Okay. That's the category. And I know I've had multiple experiences with this. Obviously, if you run traditional media for addiction, it's not like somebody, the addict per se, is going to immediately pick up the phone and call and say, hey, you know what? I'm on drugs. I'm coming into your particular facility tomorrow. That doesn't happen normally. So what you want to try and do is you want to use your traditional media to drive that particular individual or an influencer of that individual to an informational site. Well, the website, right? So you want to be sure that you drive increased traffic and create new users to the website. The website is a digital component. It's a digital media platform. The social media aspects of that business is a digital media platform. So in this particular example of an addiction facility, what we found was when the faucet of traditional media was on, their growth on their website showed a 20 to 25% increase in website traffic. And it showed a higher percentage of new users. When the faucet of traditional media was shut off for a period of time, you saw very clearly the decline in that website traffic, the decline in the new users. So again, back to the push and pull, that's a good example of how pushing helps the digital side.
Yeah, we see that all the time. Increases in website, it increases category demand and demand for the specific client both. And, you know, traditional can help push things to top of mind. They know they have an addict, adult child, for example, but the traditional advertising suddenly catches them at the right day and gives them hope and gets them actively involved searching for a solution. So that is a great example, Charlie. I know which client you're thinking about. We see we have multiple addiction clients, but one in particular was in a big market, very, very, very competitive. And that lever of traditional was a great sort of competitive advantage for us. And we could see the results in terms of inquiries, website traffic, everything would spike immediately. And that's part of the next question. I've got two other questions here that I'm summarizing just for the sake of time here, was about, actually maybe three, you know, analytics, we just talked about website traffic. We can look at inquiries that come from the website. Any other comments about analytics these days? And that's probably going to be tied a little bit to your call to action, which I want to ask about next. So if you want, you can talk about both of those things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, clearly there's always been a question is, what do I put in my advertising? Do I put a phone number? Do I put a URL? Do I put the website address, whatever? To be honest with you, I'm still a proponent of the phone number. I think that if we see tangible evidence where a person calls up and actually has a body-to-body contact with an individual, a real human being, that's critically important to the quality of that particular lead. However, when you drive traffic from that web, from that traditional media source to a URL where there's a form fill that can be filled out and you have a drop down window, hey, tell us where you saw or heard about us and fill out the form, that is still a very viable way of identifying a tangible lead from an analytics standpoint. So there are call rail platforms out there where I can actually listen to a call, understand the quality of that individual. There are a call rail platforms where I can set up separate phone numbers if I wanted to do that. And frankly, you could set up different URLs as well to track. So the tracking mechanisms today is a little bit more sophisticated than just the old fashioned phone call.
Yep. And I would just say that the call rail, by the way, is a brand name of one of the tracking platforms we use. And that's an option. So there's many options here. And this, you know, we're seeing more and more QR codes as well. People are actually seeing QR codes on TV screens, sometimes throughout the spot. So they want to keep the call to action up, especially the more direct response we see. And another application, I would say the classic application we see a lot for traditional would be Medicare or integrated campaigns would be Medicare open enrollments, where they're often doing direct mail. They're often doing TV. They might be doing long form infomercial TV. They're because they assume and they're correctly that certainly you know a lot of seniors will be looking at that. They may do live events, they may do sports sponsorships, and then they're doing digital. And so today's consumer, as they enter that age of that sweet spot of 64 to 65 when they first become eligible for Medicare, they're not, you know, they're also online researching. They're, you know, they're doing paid search, display, programmatic, paid social, is traditional. All of that is really a good use case of where we see that. And that's more and more happening with hospitals and health systems, obviously insurance companies and various iterations. But that's a really good place to look at as yet another use case. And there's a million. We have many, many places we use traditional as part of our campaign. Last thing, I don't know, I'm sure if you can communicate on this or not, Charlie, but I'm just curious because you're not usually focused on the creative, the fun part, in my opinion, sometimes. But have you noticed creative changes? Like, the creative, it seems to work now with traditional versus how it used to. And I have some comments on this, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are.
Well, Stuart, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, and even in that National Basketball Association example that I gave. I as a media buyer who are buying the actual media, I have to convey to my creative team what I'm seeing in the audience consumption research that I'm doing that has to be applied to that creative message. So I think it's critically important that the communication gap between the traditional media side is very, very closely tied to the creative team, because what they develop, we're going through that right now with a direct mail piece. It's very important that we establish exactly what media you are buying and the consumption habits of those individuals you're going after, because the creative should show that as well.
Yep. And I'll just finish with this thought. The creative, number one, varies a lot depending on the medium, obviously, but the choice, the objective of the campaign should impact the creative. Your brand guidelines will impact the creative. The mission objective will impact the creative. And then also today, it's interesting. It used to be that like the online stuff back in the day would be influenced by traditional, but now oftentimes traditional is advertised by what's going on online. So, and we talk a lot about living brand with healthcare success. We talk about, for example, how would your Instagram feed look different than Facebook perhaps, or TikTok versus TV? It's all the same company, but the brand application matters a lot. How do you make it appropriate for that given medium? How should it look all like it's, excuse me, coming from the same company, but be appropriate for the medium as well? So there you go. We spent about an hour today. Charlie, thank you. You're awesome as always.
My pleasure.
Any questions as I could. If you have questions we didn't directly answer, we'll be responding back to you by email. I welcome you to give us a call if you're interested in exploring our help for either traditional advertising or anything else. Obviously, our contact information, we're pretty easy to find, hopefully, if you've signed up for the webinar here. We appreciate your time today. Thanks. Have a great day. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, Charlie.